We are nearly through this season of Lent, coming up to the resurrection, Easter, and all that entails. And I encourage you, even now, as we come to Easter, I was talking to some guys at work, and a couple were just talking about, oh, it's Easter, I should go to church, right? And that's great, you know, any opportunity we can have. So if there are people in your lives, your work, school, wherever it may be, and they have even an inkling of church in their background or thinking about it, Easter is a great, great opportunity to invite people, and I would encourage you to do that. Our text today, I have a theme. You may have noticed. It's a theme of death and life. And I want to tell you just right up front what I'm looking to communicate today. And here it is. It is true, and we hold on to this truth, that God meets us in the depths of death. He speaks through his word, and he raises us by his spirit into a living hope. That's what it's about. That's what Easter is about. That's what all this is about. We have hope. Hope for life. For life forever. But we're going to see today too, there's hope for life today. That same power, that same spirit, all that is for us to experience on a day-to-day basis. Now, we all know, as we live our lives, that there are different seasons. There are the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, and we go through times. As we look back, we can see different times of our lives, they've been really good, sometimes not so good. And we kind of saw the gamut in our readings today. In Ezekiel, we saw a season of dryness, dry bones. And we experience dry times in our lives. We have times where maybe things are just feeling not good and even dry. We see in the Psalms a time of deep anguish. You know, from the depths I cry. And sometimes that we feel overwhelmed by our lives. That all the things that are going on, we don't see an out. We are overwhelmed as waves burying us. We see death. Death that faces us all. And we see in our Romans that even in our lives as we live, that we are sometimes divided. That there's a struggle going on within us all between the flesh and the spirit. But we don't always say it out loud, but we feel it in those hard seasons. We feel the frustration, the thought that nothing's going to change. That person in our lives who's taken a bad path, a path of sin, a path of addictions, a path of whatever it may be, and you just don't see any hope. Maybe some of you have thought in your lives that you're too far gone. That maybe the things you've done, the things you've said, that there's no coming back. We have seasons of feeling distant from God. Hard times when our prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling and slap us back in the face. It's like you're in a deep hole or a pit or a deep valley where the sun is not getting down to it. Where everything maybe looks lifeless. You may feel stuck. I remember as a kid one time I was out playing, I had some new shoes, brand new tennis shoes, white. They're awesome. I could run really fast. And I was out playing, and I got out in the country and around, and I stepped into this big old mud hole, just semi-dry, and I got in there, and my shoes got stuck. And I couldn't get out of them. I actually had to get the shoes off, because it was almost up to my knee, and then I had to get down and try to dig my shoes out. It was stuck. Well, you can imagine my reception when I got home. But, you know, some of us are stuck and we can't get out. And you pull and pull and pull and you can't get there. And what we see today in the scriptures that we read, that These words of God don't ignore these hard places. It doesn't brush them aside. It's not a, don't worry, be happy. Just put a smile on your face. It looks in the reality of the seasons of life that are sometimes hard. And it doesn't just acknowledge them, it enters them. Where we are. In every text, God meets people not where they're their best, but at their lowest. God is there. At your lowest. I want to see first, as we think about these words today, the reality of death. That picture that Elijah, that Ezekiel had of dry bones. Not bones that had been recently killed or anything like that. I mean dry. Flesh gone. Cracking. Could not be more dead than that. I mean, dead is dead, but this is dead. And it was a vision that he had. And the point of that vision was Ezekiel was speaking to Israel. And he was saying, this is you. This is you. You're like dry bones. There's no life in you. Completely dried out. No life, no hope, no future. That's what Ezekiel was speaking to. A people who were dry. A people who felt there was no hope. People lost and lifeless. And what good are bones to the rest of the world? They can't do anything. And God had a question for Ezekiel, didn't he? Can these bones live? Now, as we look at a pile of bones, we would say, no. That's pretty far gone. But God was pushing Ezekiel to face a reality that is true in God. A reality that we see before restoration, but a glimpse of a hope of restoration to come. We see the same sort of a thought in the psalm we read today. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Hear my voice. Hear my pleas for mercy. The psalmist was turned and acknowledged, saw the reality of their lives, the sin, the guilt, the despair, the waiting. That dark place that we can sometimes go to when we stumble or fall or fail. When we do the very thing that we desperately do not want to do. When we say the very things that we know better and desperately don't want to say, and yet they come out of our mouths and hurt and wound. There's a truth that before resurrection comes honesty. That's what this season of Lent is about. We've been talking about it for several weeks of reflection, of turning and just examining our lives, seeing and understanding who we are, who God is. And we get to the point where pretending doesn't work anymore. When it's not there anymore, and someone comes to you and says, I'm fine, when they're not. We're guilty of that. I'm terribly guilty of that. How you doing, Steve? Great. I'm fine. And it may not be that way at all. I spoke with a woman yesterday. These two women came in to buy a car. The one woman was buying a car, and her friend came with her. And in the midst of, that's right, whole story, but just a couple of cackling heads. It was so much fun. They were laughing all the time. But we're in this test drive. I'm in the back, these two women in the front, and the friend that came along, just kind of out of the blue, was sharing that how she has an adult son who a year ago went missing. And they still haven't found him. And you know, how do you go from, hey, you can adjust the adaptive cruise control to, I'm so sorry. You know, and she said, yeah, it's okay sometimes, but sometimes not. And, you know, sometimes he loved dinosaurs, even as a 30-year-old, and I'll find one of his dinosaur shirts, and then it just overwhelms me again. And again, I go, wow. And they don't know where he is. They suspect maybe he's dead, but they don't know. And I imagine that woman had some seasons of deep grief, crying out, God, where are you? Find my son. That's a desperate prayer, like we see here in the psalm. It's the difference between a surface level faith where everything's going okay and just a desperate acknowledgement of need and that we need God. But both these texts, Ezekiel and Psalms, refuse denial. They don't deny the reality of things, but they refuse to end in despair. Both of them cry out the hope that is in God. It doesn't leave us in those depths. It doesn't leave us in the dryness of the bones. There is a word that speaks life in our lives. And we saw today a call and response. We saw it first there in Ezekiel, in the prophecy of the bones. What did God tell Ezekiel to do? He said, speak to the bones. Speak to the bones. And he did. And what happened? Again, an incredible scene. Bones all of a sudden moving around and coming together. All of a sudden imagine like a movie. You know, all of a sudden flesh starting to appear. Sinews and tendons and muscles and skin and hair. And then at the end, there they are. Still lifeless, but... And God told him to speak to the breath. Speak to the breath, and the breath enter. We see a pattern, a thing of needing structure, of needing to get things put together in some ways that then the breath will enter, and the spirit, the breath, will give life. But even more dramatic, we see in the gospel story. It's one of my favorites. I love that story so much for so many reasons. I love the, Lord, please don't open that door because it's going to stink. It's just a moment of, oh, yeah. But Jesus stood the tomb. And again, don't miss the compassion, the humanness of Jesus. Oh, Jesus wept. He was deeply moved. Now, he knew. And think of that. He knew what was going to happen. He'd already said, this has happened so that God may be glorified. And even in that knowing, even in knowing the great thing was going to happen, he grieved. He grieved death. Even then, we had that feeling that death is wrong. And even Jesus, in seeing, is like, this is not how it should be. This is not how it should be. And so this was the low point for Lazarus. But then Jesus spoke directly to this death. He spoke. Lazarus, come out. There's no real ritual. There's no delay. Just a word. A word. Lazarus, come out. A command that could not be denied. We see in Ezekiel that God spoke through this vision through the prophet. And in the gospel, we see that in John, that Jesus speaks as the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And we don't want to miss that as we looking into Easter, this preview, this little peek into what Jesus is doing. You know, the word of God doesn't describe life. It creates it. It makes it happen. It's a moment where one sentence can change everything. A voice of authority that cannot be ignored. It's the voice like when my mom would, you know, yell at the back door or see me mess around and she whips out the Stephen Paul King. When the middle name was there, that cut through and I heard that. There was no denying anything at that point. Whatever I was doing didn't matter anymore. The middle name has been said and I need to get my tail over and see what my mom wants. It's that kind of thing. Power and authority that cuts right through to the very heart of what's going on. Of resurrection, of life itself. But we know and we see in this that We're not just talking about physical resurrection. Oh, that's a great hope. We're going to celebrate that this Easter. We have that hope. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then what are we doing here? Right? That's a great hope that this body will be renewed and physically, and we'll be able to hug and touch and sing and eat and all the things in a resurrected body. That is awesome. But we're also seeing, and we see particularly in the Romans passage, of something that's going on right now. In every one of you, right now, this resurrection power, this Spirit of God is working and sustains us for life right now. The passage mentioned two kind of mindsets. In the Bible Mark read, it said mind. Some of your Bibles probably said flesh, right? It's that sinful nature or just the stuff of this life, the wrongness, the brokenness, the broken part of life and living in our body, a broken world, and that leads to death. That's the clear message. In the flesh, you're going to die. It's death. But in the spirit, there's life and peace. And that picture of a spirit is that idea of life with God. I mean, so much of this is like, it's kind of a temple language. You know, the purpose of the temple, the model of the temple was where God's presence was and his glory was revealed. We sang it today, right? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That's a temple image of renewal of God's presence. And where the Spirit is, there is life. Where God is, there is life. Where heaven is, and again, try not to think of heaven as this place out there somewhere where God is and we can kind of go there. Heaven is where God is, where God's fully there, and where God's will is done. And where God is, that is heaven. That's where God is. And it's not just our behavior. It's not just doing the right things. It's the heart. It's our minds. It's our thinking. And we have that same spirit, that same word that said, Lazarus, come out, and he did, is in you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, that same word, that spirit is in you. And it's here now in this present reality. That presence of God. We are temples of God's presence. And the thing that's so awesome about this is that this life that God promises later, this resurrection, this amazing thing that's going to happen, begins now. It starts. It's working. It's in us working today. You know, it's like an old house. You see an old house that it's just been disconnected from power and water, and it's just a shell, and it's terrible, right? But if you hook up the power and water, suddenly there's life inside that house. There's something going on. Now, the outside may look the same, but it's a very, very different house at that point. It's the person that is maybe outwardly the same, right? Maybe their hair is the same, their clothes are the same, but something changes inside. We experience that. You know, all of you have stories of when that time came when you believed, when at the point where you really believed, and things change. They do. It's an amazing thing. And the question that I have for us as we get through this Lenten season, as we're thinking about these things, is, you know, for some of us, and probably sometimes more than others, you know, is why are we living in a tomb? If God has said, come out, why are we hanging out there where it stinks? You know, and we do these things sometimes. What would it look like? What would it look like this week as you think about things you've got going on, your schedule, the things you're doing, the people you're meeting, the meetings, the doctors, the work, the school, the classes, whatever it may be? How would that be different as you look through those things this week and you thought, I'm just going to purposely, thoughtfully, intentionally acknowledge the Spirit in me? acknowledge this presence of God that is with me and in me and is the power that is there. It would change everything. The words we say, the reactions we have, the things we see. We will see something in a completely different way. You know, I may see, oh, there's just a guy who's a loser and has made bad choices. Or I think, there's a child of God who needs the gospel and God loves. And it's just it's an old house, but the electricity could be turned on again. God brings life. He brings us resurrection. It's our great hope. But that life is here for us to live today, to acknowledge it and have it, to not be wrapped up. Right? That was the he said, unbind him. The life is given to us is a life of freedom and not to be bound up. He said, take those wrappings off of him. Again, when I think of that story, I always go to the place of, what was that like for Lazarus? Right? I mean, in some ways, you know, Jesus told us, and like he spoke to the criminal at the cross, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. Paul said that to be absent in the body is to be present in the Lord. So we have to think that he's been dead 4 days. Where was Lazarus with the Lord and however that works? And then he's got to go back? Some mixed emotions there. I don't know that I'd want to go back. Right? But he did. But he's wrapped up still. And you peel all those things off. You know, resurrection is an immediate thing. It happens. Power. But that restoration can be a process. That's the theological word of just being renewed day by day, more and more and more, being made like him. But it'd be like, you know, if we don't live in it, it'd be like someone who has been a prisoner, who's been set free, but still thinks he's in prison. You know, one of my very favorite movies, could be my favorite movie, is the movie The Shawshank Redemption. And in that movie, getting towards the end, there was a prisoner there who had been there 40 years or more. He was an old man. And he got paroled. And he got let out. And before he left, before they were gonna send him out free from prison, he actually like got a knife and he was gonna try to stab another prisoner just so that they wouldn't set him out. He didn't want to go. But he had to go. And he got out and he had a job, but he couldn't take it. And he hung himself. He died. And sometime later, another prisoner, a friend of his, was let out, ended up working at the same grocery store that the other guy had worked at, and he saw this. It was hard to transition. He couldn't do it. He was having a struggle. But he was in the very same apartment that the other guy had been in. He saw the wood beam where his friend had taken his life. And in the show, you could see the temptation, the thought was there that, oh, maybe he had the right idea. And he did. He went on. He moved on. But that's what it's like. Sometimes we're free, but we don't act like it. We don't live like it. We were dead, and now we're alive, but sometimes we act and live like we're still dead. We cling to those wrappings around us, guilt and shame, unforgiveness, old habits that are around our arms and bind us and blind us, carrying shame even though we've been forgiven, not forgiving others even though we've been forgiven. Those are burdens, those are wrappings, they bind us. What grave clothes are still clinging to your life today? Is it a fear? Fear of the future? Fear of something not going your way? Is it shame? there something that in your past that, although in your head you know you're forgiven, you can read you're forgiven, but that little voice still pops up, oh, you did that thing, didn't you? You can't really recover from that. Is it a linen cloth of bitterness? Anger towards a friend or a family member? Something that can carry on for years? Is it just your old life? The lifestyle that you used to have? Things you used to do that pull you back in? Jesus says, take those things off. Remove them. You're not dead anymore. You don't need those things anymore. And as we look around, all those people out there have grave clothes on of some sort. They do. And we can be the ones that can say, hey, you know what? You can take those off. Those can be removed. And some people don't believe you. No. I'm too. This is too much. I've done this too long. This is too great a sin. This feud between me and my brother, it's too deep. This can't be fixed. But God's word tells us that by His word, those things are removed and set free, and life is given. Jesus calls us out. He says, come out. But He doesn't want you to just come out and then do nothing. He doesn't want us to stay wrapped up in these things. Let them go. Let them go. There is in these things we looked at today that aspect of waiting, it's still there. But hope waits. And hope lives. Okay? The waiting is not a time of just sitting and doing nothing. Christ calls us to life. Life today. Life here. Right now. The psalm tells us, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. And so we wait. And we live as we are waiting. We saw in Ezekiel that God brings life that is completely gone. That is the picture of grace. Those bones were helpless. Those bones could not do anything. It took the initiative from God Himself to do that thing. In the psalm, we see that God hears us in the depths. Romans tells us that God's Spirit lives in us now. And in John, Jesus calls us by name. He said, Lazarus, come out. He said, Steve, come out. Kevin, come out. Scott, come out. Josiah, come out. Deb, come out. Out. If you imagine again that valley of bones and a voice going across it and breath suddenly entering that what was lifeless, you can see and imagine a man walking out of a tomb. That is what God calls us to do. A person, us, stepping out of the darkness of death into the light of life. As we finish up here, I would just ask, you know, where do you need that word of life today? In your faith, maybe struggling, doubts, fears? Do you need that breath in relationships? Friends, family? Do you need that hope? Not, you know, for our future that is to come, but the future of tomorrow, the future of next week. Know and understand more than anything else here, please. Whatever it is, whoever it is, you are not too far gone. Nobody is too far gone. This prison cannot hold us. The valley is not the end. The tomb is not your home. The voice of Christ calls us to step out and live. Live life now. And he will be with us for his glory, as was here, for his glory, for people to see and go, wow, those people are living. And I want that too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your life-giving spirit, that even though we may be dry bones, you speak life. Help us, God, to toss away the grave clothes that encumber us. Help us, Lord, to forgive and to know that we are forgiven. Help us to let go of the bitterness that may hang on to us, the fears, and to look forward to that great hope of your that your resurrection gives to us. We thank you, God. We thank you so much. And we praise you for your life. Amen. Amen.